Just a couple months ago, Christy and I and the kids, we went to Teach Them Diligently conference in Nashville. Now, that's a conference that every single parent should attend. I mean, even if you don't homeschool, it's a great conference because it's primarily about evangelizing and discipling your children, which every Christian parent should be serious about. But anyway, that's a rabbit I'd really love to chase, but I'm going to just let that one run away right now. But Teach Them Diligently was held at Opryland Hotel, and my kids, I mean, they've been there several times prior to going, but they're always amazed at the plants and the waterfalls and the fountains and so on and so forth. But you know what most captivates them? I mean, what just amazes them is the escalators, right? I mean, can I get amen on the escalators? Y'all have kids? When they see escalators, they just can't help themselves. They're attracted to them. I mean, the fountains are cool and all that, but the escalators. Now, Zachariah, my 8-year-old, now he's a little more cool about it. But Elijah and Elizabeth, they're like, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, Daddy. I mean, to them, it's like a ride at the fair. They have to go up them and down them, and that holds them for a little bit. But eventually, I mean, especially for the boys, they see a challenge. Why? What is that? A challenge I must conquer. Mom and Dad, I mean, I know this is probably not a good idea, but I hear adventure calling my name. And so up the down escalator they go. Y'all ever seen a little boy trying to go up a down escalator? And it's basically an impossible task for them, isn't it? And his little body just isn't strong enough yet to make it all the way up. I mean, he may make some progress, but eventually he'll fail. The downward pull of the escalator, I mean, it's just too much for him. He can't do it. And what if I complicated things by standing at the top of the escalator and saying this, Son, I command you to climb up that down escalator. You know, that's sort of what we get here in Ephesians 5, which we'll be looking at over the next 2 weeks. We'll focus on wives this week and husbands the next. I want you to notice the primary verb for wives. And then the primary verb for husbands. Look at, for wives, look at verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That's verse 22. Now let's go down to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So wives, submit. Husbands, sacrifice as an act of love. How does that sit with you this morning? I mean, isn't that kind of like going up the down escalator? I mean, God has commanded us in marriage to do something that the gravity of our fallenness works completely against. And even if we want to, we find ourselves failing. But let's be honest. Sometimes we don't even want to, do we? Our natural moral abilities are simply broken. God says submit, but we naturally want to resist and ignore any leadership. We want to do what we want to do. Submission seems so yuck to our flesh. God says sacrifice, but we naturally want to be selfish and to be waited on hand and foot. We naturally want to be a dictator and issue decrees. I mean, a man is the king of his castle, right? Well, a godly man has Jesus as king of his castle, while the man himself is a servant leader of his home. But that's not what we naturally want to do. God says submit and sacrifice, and off we go in our own strength like a young boy trying to run up a down escalator. And so we come to Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. When we come to this passage, it's very easy for you and for me to get discouraged. Because from our experience, we know that we'll never make it. But beloved, let me give you some hope this morning. You see, we're not just to read verse, we should not begin just in verse 22. You see, that's where we find the commands. But we got to go back a few verses earlier to begin in verse 15. Because that's where the power to meet the commands is found. Let's look at it. Here's the power. Verse 15, beginning in the verse 15 of chapter 5, Ephesians. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now look back at verse 18. There it is. Here's the power. Be filled with the Spirit. Wives, God has commanded you to submit. Husbands, God has commanded you to sacrifice, but He hasn't commanded you to simply do this out of the sheer strength of your own moral ability. You see, He supplied the Holy Spirit to you that you might walk in complete obedience to these commands. And He's promised us that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will go up the down escalator, so to speak, right? It's like the early church father Augustine said, Lord, command what you will, only grant what you command. You see, that's exactly what God is doing here in Ephesians 5. He's not only commanding submission and sacrifice, He's also empowering us through the Holy Spirit to do it. You see, with the Holy Spirit working in us, every command that God has commanded is possible for us to do. Wives, when you feel like, I cannot submit, be filled with the Spirit. Husbands, when you feel like you cannot sacrifice, be filled with the Spirit. So, it's with the resources of the Holy Spirit promised that we look at wives today and then husbands next week. Spirit-filled submission from wives is our topic today. Now, as we think about submission, what is submission? Biblically speaking, I believe John Piper gives us a good definition of wifely submission. Here's what he says. He says, submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. Now, let me say that again so it can kind of sink in. Wifely submission. Submission is the divine calling of a wife to honor and affirm her husband's leadership and help carry it through according to her gifts. So that's what a definition would be. Notice it's a divine calling. Notice that it deals with honoring and affirming the husband's leadership. And notice also that it's according to her gifts. It's unique for her. How is she going to do that? So before we get to what biblical submission for a wife means, to flesh it out from our text, I believe, given our culture, we got to first look at what biblical submission for a wife does not mean. Because let's be honest, we've got false notions in our culture that we have to burn down this morning. You see, a lot of folks, they just misunderstand what the Bible is calling for here. So first, let's get into that. Biblical submission first for a wife does not mean that women are to submit to every man. Biblical submission for a wife does not mean that women are to submit to every man. You see, we often misread this passage and think that this applies to every man-woman relationship, but that's just not not the case. You see, the Bible never tells a woman to submit to every man simply because she is a woman and he is a man. In fact, I mean, you look here, it's very specific. The Bible's very specific. The only person a woman is to submit to simply because she is a woman is her husband. Now, certainly, there are others that the Bible tells her to submit to on this earth, like her father when she was a child, and like the governing authorities, and like her employer, and like her church pastors, which the Bible usually calls elders. But men have to submit to these same people as well, right? Women have to submit to them, but so do men. So the only person a woman is to submit to simply because she is a woman is her husband. That man that she's in a one flesh union with. I mean, she does not have to submit to the neighbor man or to the coworker man or some random man. God has called her in her womanhood to submit only to her husband. So biblical submission for a wife does not mean that women are to submit to every man. Secondly, biblical submission for a wife does not mean that wives are the only ones who submit. Wives are not the only ones who submit. I just alluded to that a moment ago. Every human being is called to submit to somebody. Right? As children, we're to submit to parents. We all have to submit to police and governors and presidents, to our bosses, to the pastors that God has placed over us in the church. And most of all, every one of us is called to submit to God in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our what? Our Lord. That means we're to submit, right? That's a lordship. He has authority over us. As you think about it, friends, there's only one being in the entire existence that never submits, and that's God Himself. So, submission is not just a wife thing, okay? Now, submission to her husband is. That's a wife thing, submission to her husband. But everybody except God is called to submit to somebody. So biblical submission for a wife does not mean that wives are the only ones who submit. Third, biblical submission for a wife does not mean that wives are lesser. Wives are not lesser. Just because she submits, okay? Somehow in our culture, submission has begun to communicate lesser. But that's not what the Bible envisions when it calls wives to submit to her husband. You see, all throughout Scripture, the Bible envisions that man and woman complement each other. And when I say complement, I don't mean like, oh, honey, you are smoking hot. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? That would be complement with an I, C-O-M-P-L-I-M-E-N-T. I'm talking about complement with an E, C-O-M-P-L-E-M-E-N-T. Complement with an E means to complete something else or make it better. So maybe a good way to remember this word is to think not just complement, but complete-ment. I mean, isn't that what old Tom Cruise told Renee Zellweger in the movie Jerry Maguire? Remember that? He said, "You complete me." And she's like, "Oh, shut up, just shut up. You had me at hello." Y'all remember? Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what God has in mind here. Husband and wife are to complete one another. Now this truth, I mean, it's most vivid in the sexual union between a husband and a wife. But it's supposed to be manifest in every single aspect of their life. What he is lacking, she's supposed to fill up. And what she is lacking, he is supposed to fill up. Now, just a few verses later here in Ephesians 5:31, look at it with me. Paul is going to quote Genesis 2:24, and here's what he quotes. Ephesians 5:31, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." One flesh union. One flesh union. I want you to just picture in your mind just for a moment a body. And in that body, I want to focus on just two organs. I want to focus on the heart and the brain. In a body, a heart and a brain, the heart and the brain are in a one flesh union, right? They depend on one another. But the heart submits to the brain. But does that make it lesser? No way, right? I mean, both are essential, both are important, both are beautiful. The heart is not lesser because it submits to the brain. They are simply fulfilling God's design for the body. And the same is true for husband and wife. They are in a one flesh spiritual union. They depend on one another. They are both essential and important and beautiful. They're both made in the image of God, and they've been endowed with amazing gifts. But wives have been called by God to submit to their husband. The wife is not lesser because she's called to submit. She's simply fulfilling God's design for the body. And beloved, it's glorious. It's wise. It's a blessed design. So biblical submission for a wife does not mean that wives are lesser. Finally, biblical submission for a wife does not mean that wives are doormats. Wives are not doormats. Unfortunately, that's the picture the culture often has about wifely submission. And just lie down and let your husband walk all over you. But that couldn't be further from the truth. You see, wives are to be strong, active partners in the marriage. I mean, ladies, think for just a moment. Always remember that Proverbs 31 wife, she's the one who's held up as the exemplary woman in the Bible. And that woman was no doormat. Amen? We talked about her just, 2 weeks ago in Bible fellowship, right? She was a worker and a businesswoman and a caretaker. Yet undoubtedly, she submitted to her husband. If she's held up as that exemplary woman in the Bible, undoubtedly she submitted to her husband. But even in submission, a wife can be a strong, active, productive partner in marriage, right? She gives input, she shares her heart and her mind and brings a perspective that husbands often don't naturally see. And a wise husband leader will listen and lead with her in mind. I mean, that's one of the reasons that wives are to be prized. Proverbs 31:10 says this, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels." I mean, nobody prizes a doormat. We just moved and I threw out like 5 doormats because they were nasty and tattered and just ugly. They were worn out. You just throw out a doormat. But a wife is prized above rubies. So, biblical submission for a wife does not mean that wives are doormats. So, now that we've done some deconstructing of that modern mindset, let's turn to our text and see exactly what biblical submission does mean for a wife. First, biblical submission does mean a wife's submission to her husband is a mark of being filled with the Spirit. A wife's submission is a mark of being filled with the Spirit. Look at verse 18 and then skip ahead to verse 21 and 22. Verse 18, Ephesians 5. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, show me a wife who is submitting to her husband, and I will show you a wife who is filled with the Spirit. The two simply go hand in hand. Again, biblical submission doesn't come naturally, but praise be to God that we have supernatural resources in the Holy Spirit. Now, every Christian is baptized in the Holy Spirit and indwelt with the Holy Spirit only one time, and that happens at salvation. But the truth of the matter is that we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit repeatedly over the course of our lives. We're like leaky buckets, and furthermore, when we minister and serve the Lord, we pour out the Holy Spirit as we serve, so to speak, okay? So we got to constantly seek to be filled back up again with the Holy Spirit. And so how do we do that? Let me just point to you just quickly four things. One is Bible reading. If you want to get filled with the Spirit, ladies, everybody, but particularly wives that we're addressing today, read your Bible. When you open up that Word and begin to read the Word, the Holy Spirit begins to fill you, because that's what God does when you interact with His Word. So read His Word. Also pray. That's another way. Pray. Seek fellowship with God. Ask the God, you know, ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Third, sing praise to God. Sing praise to God. Look at Ephesians 5. Look at our text. Look at verse 18 and 19. Be filled with the Spirit, verse 19, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. So you see right there, one of the ways that you get filled with the Spirit, it explicitly says right here, is by singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. When you praise God, He fills you with the Holy Spirit. And finally, is fellowship with other believers. When you get around other believers, there's an encouragement, right? There's a sharpening. There's a filling of the Holy Spirit through fellowship. And that's exactly what happens. So we got to constantly seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wives, be filled with the Spirit so that you can submit. Second, biblical submission does mean a wife's submission to her husband honors Christ. It honors Christ. Ladies, this is not only a fact. I want you to hear that. That's not only a fact that it honors Christ, but I pray it would be also a motivation for you this morning. If you desire to honor Christ, then submit to your husband. I mean, it's a choice that you have to make. Your husband cannot make you submit to him, right? It's voluntary. If he tries to force you, then he's not being a godly husband. So you have to decide every day, every moment, do I really want to honor Jesus Christ? And if the answer is yes, then submit to your husband. Now look here at verse 21 through 24. Ephesians 5, 21 through 24, it says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now, ladies, I know that there are days that you look over that man, you wake up in the morning and you roll over and you see him and you look at him, at that man that you have married, and you think, think I might have married the frog instead of the prince, okay? But he's not your ultimate motivation. Jesus Christ is. And on those days when your husband is not all that worthy of being followed, then Jesus always is. Amen? You look at him and say, I don't know if I can follow him. Can you follow Jesus? Can you honor Jesus? Can you love Jesus? So biblical submission means first and foremost that you are submitting to Jesus when you submit to your husband. And when you submit to your husband, you are honoring Jesus. Now why is that? I think the answer is simply because Jesus lived and died to restore God's design for marriage. He lived and died for lots of things. Primarily, of course, to save our souls from sin. But part of that is the everyday in and out of life, which includes marriage. And so Jesus died also, he lived and died also to restore God's design for marriage. You see, wifely submission is not a product of the fall of humanity into sin. Sin marred it. Sin destroyed it. Sin caused it to be difficult. Again, to quote John Piper this morning, here's what he said. He said, sin didn't create headship and submission. It ruined them and distorted them and made them ugly and destructive. But Christ lived and died that husband and wife might live in the way that God had intended. And so when a wife submits to her husband, she honors Christ. Third, biblical submission does mean a wife's submission to her husband is all-encompassing. A wife's submission to her husband is all-encompassing. Again, let's read verse 22 through 24. Of Ephesians 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Now notice that phrase there. Submit in everything. Did you realize that the command was that encompassing? I mean, it covers everything, submit in everything. Now, of course, wives, you are not to submit if your husband is leading you into ungodliness, right? Because Christ is your Lord first, right? He's your leader first. You can't dishonor Christ while trying to honor your husband. You always honor Christ first and foremost. So if your husband tries to lead you into ungodliness, you say, no, I cannot follow you there, sweetheart. I'm sorry. But in general, submit in everything. Notice to whom each person is equated here. The husband is equated to whom? Christ, that's right. And the wife is equated to whom? The church. So here's a question I want you to just think on this. Husbands are equated to Christ and wives are equated to the church. When should the church stop following Jesus? Answer that question, and you'll have the answer to when should wives stop following their husband. In other words, never, never follow your husband. Submit in everything. Now, men, if this makes you go, yes, you're all getting all giddy because you think she's just going to have to do whatever you say do, and you're getting all excited about bossing her around, you're missing it. This should not make you giddy. This should make you tremble in your boots. Because that means that one day, when you stand before Jesus Christ, you will be held accountable for that woman. It's a big deal, right? You don't take this lightly. There's a lot of weight on you. And we're going to talk more about that next week, okay, men? It's coming, all right? You think it says something about women here? Wait, wives, wait till we get to husbands next week. And so, husbands, you and I have to work to make it abundantly easy for her to submit and follow us. That's what we have to do. And so wives should do so in all things. Finally, biblical submission does mean a wife's submission to her husband honors the husband. It honors the husband. Look at verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, given the culture that we swim in, this is really tough for us because husbands are always portrayed as either the tyrant or the buffoon, right? I mean, just look at popular TV. Look at sitcoms, TV drama. I mean, the husband's always like the laugh line, isn't he, right? He's always the idiot who has no clue, and mom has to come in and save the day, and the kids laugh at him, and mom laughs at him, and whoever else. I mean, he's always the clown. And so, whether we don't even realize it, but we're being trained to disrespect the husband and father. But let's look here at the text. Remember, let the wife see that she respects her husband. Notice verse 33. The root word for respect here is the same Greek root word for reverence there in verse 21. Remember it said, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So respect in verse 33, reverence in verse 21, it's the same root word, phabeo in the Greek. So what does that mean? I mean, if they're the same word, phabeo, Christ, basically, and then phabeo, your husband. Here's what that means. That means that in the same way that you respect Jesus Christ, wives, you should also respect your husband. I mean, remember, I mean, you say, what? Remember, though, and we're going to talk about this more next week, but he, your husband, is supposed to be laying down his life for you like Jesus did. Is that the kind of man that you can respect? Your husband is laying down his life for you? Absolutely. Absolutely. Respect your husband. Now, I mean, many would argue that respect is a man's greatest emotional need. And this is an area that wives, I mean, it can really cause their husband to soar. You know what I mean? I mean, just cause him to walk around with his chest puffed out and be glad. He can't wait to get home. He can't wait to see you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you. If you want that from your husband, then respect him. You see, one of the reasons that he doesn't like to lead is because very well might be that you disrespect him. Build him up. Respect him. Encourage him. Wives, I want you to take just a moment and look at your husbands. Wives, look at your husband. Do you want to make that man better? Do you want to help him to soar? Then show him respect. You know, most girls, they fantasize about being a princess. Right? They want to marry a king. You know, there are only two ways to become a queen. One is to find a king and marry that man. But you know what? I mean, looking around, even when I look in the mirror, I don't see any kings. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest here. I don't see any kings. So that's one way that you can become a queen. Find a king who's already a king and marry him, but they're few and far between. But here's the second way, ladies, that you can become a queen and marry a king, is that you can treat the man that God has given you like a king, so that he becomes kingly. And you know what he does in return? He wants to treat you like a queen as well. As we think about these things, these are so important. God has given us his word that we'd walk in blessedness. So how would we summarize all this? Why? I mean, what would be the point for this morning's message? Here it is. Here's the takeaway. Just to summarize it all. Wives, by the power of the Holy Spirit, submit to the leadership of your husband in all things for his sake and Jesus's. Submit to your husband by the power of the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled submission. And let me just say also this morning, you know, we talked about how here in this passage, he's really talking about Christ and the church. That's what Paul says. Maybe this morning, Jesus Christ is calling you to submit to him. He's calling you out of darkness into light. He's calling you out of death into life. He's calling you out of sin into salvation. And this morning, how does that happen? By submitting to him. So whether you're a man, woman, boy or girl, wife, husband, single, divorced, whatever you are, Christ says, come and bow the knee to me, to Jesus. And I pray this morning that as the Holy Spirit touches your heart and draws you and calls you, that this morning you would say yes and you would surrender. You would submit this very hour to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. May God bless us. May He bless wives. May He bless husbands. And may He bless us all. Let's pray together.